Practical Prophetic, where prophetic ministry is made practical. I'm Beth Wingate, I'm your host, and welcome to the podcast. On our podcast today, we are going to talk about perspective and the rule of thirds. Now, that may be a term you're not familiar with, but I do photography sometimes as a hobby, just on my own, mainly just for my family. And I'm interested in photography somewhat. And one of the things I learned about through some friends of mine who are amazing professional photographers is something called the rule of thirds. And so I thought I would use this example and apply it to using spiritual perspective, or I would even go further and call it prophetic perspective, with whatever situation you are looking at in life, because perspective oftentimes can really change the way we see things. Let me give us an example out of the photography world that I think you'll also find interesting and useful. So most people, logically, when they're taking photographs, they will put whatever they're taking a photograph of, say it's their children or their pet or whatever, and they will line up what they're taking a picture of right in the center of the frame of where they're, either if they're looking through the little viewfinder on their camera, or maybe they're using their phone and they just hold the screen out, they'll center what they're taking in the screen. Maybe it's on your iPhone or your Android phone, and then take the picture. Logically, that seems like that would make a good picture, but professionals do not typically do that, maybe in limited circumstances for portraits, but it is far better from an artistic perspective to take those pictures applying the rule of thirds. So how this works is, let's just say that your iPhone is the screen that you're going to use to take a picture with. You would take an imaginary line. In fact, some iPhones have this feature on it with a grid, but you would draw two lines down the center, thirding the view, and then two horizontally thirding the view, two vertical lines, two horizontal lines, making a grid, but dividing it, either horizontally or vertically into three sections. And that's where you get the idea of the rule of thirds. Now, where those lines intersect is typically where you want to frame the main focal point of what you're taking a picture of. And that is much more professional and is going to look better to the person who is viewing the picture. So it's all a matter of perspective. I'm very fascinated by different angles, different perspectives, and I just think that's very interesting. And so if you can learn to just sort of put, maybe it's a picture of a pet. You don't want to put them right in the center of the lens. You want to scooch them a little bit to one side and a little bit up or down, and that is far more interesting. And typically it depends on what you're taking a picture of, but where, if maybe they're facing off to the side, maybe they're facing to the left, then you want to kind of drop them down into the right third of the frame so that you can kind of get an idea of maybe what they're looking at or something like that. And so anyway, that's just the basic rundown on a photography idea called the rule of thirds that most professionals use. Now, let's apply that thinking about perspective. Let's apply that to spiritual perspective, because oftentimes we may be in the middle of a decision or in the middle of a situation, and it can be very difficult to get the right proper perspective. Or we may be trying to logically understand what is going on or make a decision in our lives. And so we want to live a Christ-centered, Christian, biblical perspective-driven life. And so sometimes that is not always what seems logical. Sometimes the biblical thing to do, the prophetic thing to do, and by the way, the definition of prophecy in your Bible, all the words connected to prophecy go back to a Hebrew root word called naba. I've got so many podcasts that talk about that, but naba basically means just to be inspired of the Holy Spirit. And the primary way we're inspired by the Holy Spirit is through the Word of God, but it can also be through prayer. And then God also speaks to us today. We serve a living God who speaks to us through our five senses. Now, of course, there's rules with that. It has to line up with the Word of God and the very nature of God. Okay, covering those basics, let's go forward. So spiritual perspective is so essential, and it will make a huge impact in your life. So let's break that down. Let's reframe how we look at things using this rule of thirds as sort of an example. Okay, I like the idea of the thirds, and that got me thinking about something I'm also very passionate about, and that's looking at our lives from this viewpoint, this biblical viewpoint based out of the book of Romans and Hebrews, of flesh, soul, and spirit, patterned after the Old Testament temple that had an outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. This is a theme you'll hear me repeat often because it's so important. We look at things through the flesh, and Paul has a lot to say about this, but the flesh part of you is just your primal nature. And I sort of equate him to a caveman, you know, me hungry, me angry, you know, whatever. And so that's just your primal nature, your default reactive, impulsive self. That's just you just being natural, which is, by the way, we live in a fallen world. And so that's not a good thing. Paul teaches us to crucify our flesh daily. He talks about themes like dying to ourself, that we are living for a purpose that is far greater than ourselves, and that we are a part as believers in Jesus Christ our King as in the kingdom of heaven. And so we have a purpose beyond ourselves, and we have a role to play that is bigger than us, which definitely takes your focus off yourself. Well, let's move to the inner court. Let's move to the next level, and that's the level of your soul. The Hebrew word there is psuche. We have a friend of ours who's been a guest on the podcast, Pastor Beverly, and she refers to her soul man as for her as a female as Sister Psuche, or you could say Brother Psuche. That represents where we get the word psyche, and it's the Greek word for soul, and it talks about the soul is defined as your mind, will, emotions, and intellect. And so sometimes that's sort of your logical, practical self, where you think it out or you feel it out, and that's how you make a decision. And oftentimes that can be okay, but the Bible also tells us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it is death. And so not everything that's logical is the right way to go about things. I'm going to break this down with some examples out of the Bible here in a minute. And then the next level is spirit. That is the real you. That is the eternal part of you if you're a believer. That is the part of you that is really connected to the Holy Spirit, the real you. And so I just want to teach us how to look at things from a spiritual perspective primarily, then how to walk that out logically, and how to defeat that impulsive primal desire in yourself. Now, oftentimes we do the reverse. We first react impulsively, upset, confused, frustrated, you know, whatever. Then we will sit down and we will logically think about things. And then oftentimes the last thing we do is, okay, I need to pray or get somebody who can pray or hear from God for me. And so let's flip that. You know, the kingdom of God is upside down to our natural world. Let me give you an example. In the kingdom of God, to live, you have to die. To gain, you have to give. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So let's flip things on its head. Let's start from the spiritual perspective of prayer, of seeking the Holy Spirit, of going to God's Word, of seeking counsel with a spiritual leader. Then we can move to the, okay, now how can I practically apply this and walk this out? And then third, let's just crucify that impulsive, primal, flesh man nature. So really, this is a basic, simple message that I have. And really, that's like reframing things to put the most important thing on the axis of the picture where those lines intersect, and then moving the focal position away from things that don't matter. So let's flip things, because logically you would think when you're taking a picture, hey, you put the you know, I'm taking a picture of my dog, I'm gonna put the dog right in the middle of the picture. Well, that really doesn't aesthetically look right when you're doing photography. You need to look, you know, that's why they're professionals. That's why you hire professionals to do your pictures, because they're trained on these things. All right, let's use some scripture. We're going to root everything in our scripture based out of one of my favorite scriptures, which is Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future." The Lord has a plan for your life. So simple. God has a plan for you. There is no situation in your life that the Lord is not prepared for. And so when we walk in obedience to the Lord, when we obey the Lord, when we serve the Lord, love the Lord with all our hearts, then we will be able to hear His voice and walk out the will of God in our life. And God is so good and gracious. He even makes provisions with what we call the permissive will of God. And so that's a whole nother podcast. I think we did one on that if you want to go look that up. But let's move on in our study. So we're talking about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Well, oftentimes we can be just like, you know, the saying that says we can't see the forest for the trees. You can be in the middle of your situation or your problem or your decision, and it can be very difficult to see the forest for the trees. Another way to maybe talk about perspective is when you're flying. You know, you can be flying at 10,000 feet. That's pretty low. That's like how helicopters fly, not so, you know, too high above the treetops. You can still make out, you know, relatively detail in the terrain, but you don't get the full scope until maybe you move up to 40,000 feet. That's like your soul level. And then when you really want to get the lay of the land and get complete perspective, you may have to fly up to 80,000 feet. And then you can see, you know, a vast area within your field of view and your scope. And so we want to treat it like this. We've got to have a heavenly perspective when we are faced with decisions in our life or problems in our life or crossroads or whatever the case may be. And so you can't always go with just a logical decision. And why do we have this biblical mindset? You know, why is our mindset so different? Let me give us an example out of Hebrews chapter 11, because I'll tell you why. Because we live and walk by faith. And what is faith? Faith is, this is verse 1 out of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, there is a spiritual world. There is the, quote, kingdom of God that you can't see. It's a faith walk. And we know that when you apply the word of God, it supersedes this physical world. And that sometimes just seems so antithetical to whatever we're faced with right in front of us. Maybe you're looking at a job change. Maybe you're looking at a decision about a relationship. Maybe you're looking at a problem, maybe financial problem in your life. Whatever the case may be, you know, your primal self, your flesh man, your outer court man just wants to react. What am I going to do? Oh, no. You know, how am I going to do this? How is this going to happen? Oh, my goodness. You know, oh, no. Just react. That's backwards thinking. Let's reframe the situation in front of you. Well, some people are only led by their logic. Well, if I do this and I do that and da-da-da-da, you know, and that may seem logically correct, like putting, you know, the picture of, you know, when you're taking a picture of your dog, putting him right in the middle, that may seem logically correct, but there's a better way. There's a higher way, a professional way, so to speak. And so you've got to start from the realm of the Spirit. First of all, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's the very first thing you should do. Then, hopefully, you're familiar enough with the Word of God that you can look at a story in your Bible and draw inspiration from that. Paul tells us that the all of the things and all of the stories in the Old Testament are examples for us today. And I really believe that. I believe, you know, the church, the believers, the ecclesia, we are a type of the children of Israel in the wilderness on their journey to the promised land. What kept them out of the promised land? Hebrews 4. Here's our Hebrews 4 moment. It wasn't the sin at the golden calf, that party, that hedonistic party. That was bad. The Lord was not pleased with that, but that didn't keep them out of the promised land. What kept them out of the promised land was doubt and unbelief. They could not enter into God's rest, knowing that from the foundation of the earth, God had already made a way. He had already put provision for them. And so I've got so many examples, and I think we did a couple of different podcasts on Hebrews 4. And so I would encourage you to listen to those. That's a theme that you're going to hear from me. So let's look at a couple of examples. Let's look at Moses. Moses is a wonderful example. You know, God called him and raised him up to lead God's people out of captivity and into the promised land, but it was not going to be easy. It was going to be a very winding road, so to speak, with lots of twists and turns and unexpected things and all kind of challenges. And so God calls Moses to be the leader of his people. And Moses, when he's first initially confronted with leadership, with this big life-changing decision, he replies to the Lord. He says, "Oh, pardon your servant, Lord." This is in Exodus 4, starting in verse 10. He said, "I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or since I've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And a lot of scholars believe he had maybe a stutter or a speech impediment. But Moses was like, "Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't think I'm able to do that. I don't think I'm the right person for the job. I'm not very charismatic. I'm not a great speaker. I'm not the guy." Well, I'm here to tell you, Moses was the perfect person for the job. God knew what he was doing. He wasn't looking at things from the flesh or logic, because the Lord knew from the spiritual perspective. And he had to help Moses see things from the spiritual perspective. You know, logically, that's putting him in the middle of the frame. And the Lord was like, no, I have a plan. And so Moses was exactly the right person for the job. But that took faith. Moses walked out of faith walk. Another one would be Abraham. Abraham was, you know, God called him and then he goes on this faith walk. Another one of my favorite ones is Joseph. Joseph is the most unlikely candidate to end up in a powerful place. He becomes like the prime minister of Egypt under the Pharaoh, and he ends up being instrumental with God's people. And he started out, though, being thrown into a pit by his brothers. And he goes from the pit to the palace. And he's also an example to us. He's a very unlikely candidate. Had you looked at things only in the natural, and by the way, he was sold into slavery, becomes a prisoner. He has all these exciting, you know, parts of his journey. But Joseph was an unlikely candidate. Logically, it didn't work. It was like, how did God do this? How did he have the kind of journey that he had? And he becomes one of the most important people in the Word of God. And so what a fabulous testimony. Well, let me give you some real life examples about how we reframe our thinking to maybe flip things from what we think would be logical. You know, when you're taking a picture of somebody and maybe, like I said, it's your dog or whatever, and logically you're thinking, I'm just going to put that dog right in the middle of the screen, you know, when I take that picture. But it is far better to do things a little different, to offset that, which seems a little contrary to your natural inclination. I'm going to give us an example from my brother. One time was looking for a job. He had had an unexpected job change, and he was looking at basically shifting his career in many ways. initially, he had applied for, you know, jobs that were logical, the logical choice. So he has been involved in sales most of his life. And then he began to speak to my mom about, okay, I really want to seek the Lord. I want to make the right decision. He had a couple of offers on the table. One actually offered more money, but he kept being drawn to this other job. And he and my mom were talking about it. And she was like, we got to pray about it. And, you know, he prayed about it and was speaking God's word over it. And he just said, you know what? He said, I'm just going to ask the Lord for a sign. And so he went to go interview with both of these positions, and it was going to come down to a really difficult decision about which job to take. And he went into one job was a little more money, I think, and it was more closely related to something he was familiar with. And then this other job was it was in a field that he really had no experience in and wasn't even sure if that's something he wanted to do. And the pay was, you know, a little bit less. And logically, you know, the one he ended up with was not the job he would have naturally chosen. But he said he went into interview, and on the wall in the lobby as he went to, you know, go in and have his interview where you kind of meet the receptionist, there was a huge scripture on the wall, like decorative, but it was on the wall. And it was the very scripture he said that he had been praying about. And so he came home, and or I think he called my mom and was telling her about it. He's like, do you think that was a sign? And my mom, of course, was like, yes, that's a sign. I really have prayed about it also. I believe that's confirmation that I was leaning that way too on your behalf in prayer. And he was like, yeah, I think I am too. But it was a big step. It was a big decision. It was something unfamiliar. Well, it turned out being fantastic. He excelled in that job. He won awards and was promoted. And so it was the right decision. Now, logically, at the beginning, it did not look like the right decision. In fact, it looked like he was settling or taking something less. But you have to trust the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so that's one example. Another example, and I've shared this before, was my husband and I, when we were looking to buy the home that we live in now, we were about to sign a lease, and it was going to be, I believe, a 6-month or 1-year lease. And so we had to make a decision quickly. And I just did not have a peace about this lease. My mom had been praying about it. My husband, but we, none of us really had a peace, but we were also up against the clock. And so we had to make a decision. And our house that we had put on the market sold a lot quicker than we planned. And we had X amount of days to basically be out of our house. And so we really didn't want to have to do a temporary living arrangement, but you know, we were sort of up against the clock. And so my mom and I, we were praying about it. My husband had to work. He's like, hey, can y'all go look at places today? If we don't nail it down today, we need to go ahead and sign this lease. And we knew that's probably what we would do, but we were kind of on the fence about it, not feeling confident about that decision. And so my mom and I prayed, and she encouraged me to go to this neighborhood, the one I live in now, which at the time was kind of a little stretch, you know, above my budget, my price range. And she goes, you know, if you could live anywhere, where would you want to live? And I named this place. And but it was, I was like, yeah, but that's not realistic. It's out of my budget. And she was like, well, let's just pray about it. I really feel like this is what we should do. And by the way, let's just pause right there. That was a prophetic moment. She had a prompting of the Holy Spirit to push me and to push my faith. And hey, let's go do this. And so we did. And I, to be honest with you, I was reluctant and hesitant. I wasn't super open-minded about it because I'm looking at things going in the center of that frame. You know, that's where they should go. But the Lord was like, no, 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 let's change your perspective. And so we go, and it just so happens, wink, wink, that the builder, which was also one of the developers, and his real estate agent who had listed the house just so happened to be there at that moment. And that it was during the housing boom in the late 90s and or the early 2000s, and they were building across town in a new development, and they just wanted to hurry up and get out of this neighborhood because their crews were almost an hour apart on two complete opposite ends of the, you know, metro area. And so they said, hey, if you're interested, we really need to sell this house. He said, make me an offer. And so we made him a very low, you know, low ball offer. And this was a popular area. The houses were going. It was sort of unprecedented for that to happen. If he had waited several weeks, I'm confident he would have got full asking price. But, you know, for his situation, he needed to get across town. And so we made him a low offer below asking price, listed price. And he took it. And I was like, well, I don't have the contingency money on me, but I can write you a check if you can hold it, you know, for 2 days. And that can be our contingency money until I can shift some money around. And he was like, done. And so I called my husband, and this was before you could kind of FaceTime and stuff, and I was basically describing the house to him and telling him, we've got to give him a decision right now. And he was like, you know what? I trust you. I trust it. It sounds perfect. I know the neighborhood. He's like, we'll look at it when I get home, and if we have to, we'll just lose the contingency money. But he's like, let's do it. I feel a peace about it. He also, by the way, prophetic moment, we had been praying about this decision, and so God moved, and so it was right in God's perfect timing. Now, logically, if I was only going at this from logic, not from a faith standpoint, I would have said, oh, that's too risky. You know, let's just do the safe thing and do this temporary solution with a lease until we can put the time into finding the perfect place. Well, I have learned that it's better to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm not saying you be crazy with that. Of course, it has to be, tempered with wisdom. But I'm telling you, this is a different way of living life, a biblically based perspective that flips everything all the way upside down. Instead of starting with your flesh, your primal self, impulsive self, or even starting with your logic, start with the Spirit. Start from the Holy of Holies and work your way out instead of starting with your flesh and working your way in. That's a whole new way of thinking and looking at things spiritual. Whether it comes to jobs, whether it comes to houses, whether it comes to relationships, everything we do has got to be inspired of the Holy Spirit. You have to start with the spiritual and flip things around and learn to look through a new perspective using the example and photography of the rule of thirds. I hope you are blessed and encouraged by this message, and don't forget to smile. Have a blessed day. For listening to today's podcast. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll be informed next time I post. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.